Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is William K. Black, who is the former litigation director of the Federal Home Loan Bank Board, who investigated the savings and loan disaster of the 1980s. Currently, he's a professor of economics and law at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. He was the executive director of the Institute for Fraud Prevention from 2005 to 2007. And he's the author of the best-selling book, The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One. Welcome to Background Briefing, William K. Black.
Thank you.
And you're just back from Switzerland, where you've been meeting with a group of bankers. Meeting of European finance ministers attended by U.S. Secretary of Treasury Tim Geithner ended inconclusively and unsuccessfully. And it feels to me like, just as here in this country, we have this peculiar drift where economic realities and political possibilities are completely at loggerheads. It seems in Europe the same problem. The economic realities are not being dealt with in terms of political possibilities.
Yes, I met with a large number of regulators as well. And in Europe, the cover-up of bank losses is even more severe than the cover-up of bank losses in the United States. And so it's pretend and extend is the phrase.
So is this the irony, therefore, Bill Black, that the German people are angry and they don't want to bail out Greece? German Chancellor Angela Merkel has rejected the idea of floating Eurobonds, which was one of the suggestions from George Soros. But my understanding is that the irony here is that what they're really bailing out are the German banks.
Yeah, they're certainly bailing out the European banks. And within that category, by far the worst banks are the German banks. I call it German banks gone wild. As soon as they got outside of the confines of Germany, they went absolutely nuts. And so if you look at all of the crisis countries in Europe, the German banks are the worst of the lenders.
You mean they're most exposed? And why is it, therefore, that they blame the borrower and not the lender?
Because the lender are important parts of their political coalition, so they don't blame their coalition except perhaps behind closed doors. No, the leading beneficiary of the bailouts is the German banks, and therefore, in the end of the day, Merkel, despite losing virtually every state election, has continued to do these bailouts. And, of course, what is happening in economic substance is that it's all of the EU members who are bailing out the German banks. So there's actually a flow of capital to Germany. But if you ask the typical German in the street, they'd probably think it was the opposite.
Well, isn't that the problem, Bill Black, that the German people feel that there's a choice in this matter and the politicians haven't leveled with them? If they don't give the Greeks this extra $8 billion that's been promised, the whole Eurozone could unravel, and that would throw us back into a recession and possibly a global depression.
Well, I'm not sure that that part is true, that it would necessarily push into recession. Indeed, the attempt to keep the euro, the currency, in place is one of the greatest dangers of causing the next recession, because the periphery is having forced upon it in a time period when they're in severe recessions, austerity measures, which are the worst possible policy approach. And as a result, of course, the recessions have gotten worse. Unemployment has grown enormously. Unemployment in Spain is at roughly 20%, and in southern Spain, Andalusia, it's 30%. So these are Great Depression levels.
Sure, and you have to add to that what the austerity has done in England, self-imposed. It's totally marooned their economy. And the austerity that was agreed to in the economic hostage crisis here is also putting our economy into free fall. But surely, though, a collapse of the euro would add to this already pretty tenuous situation.
I don't think so. I mean, it would certainly be a serious issue for Greece, but whatever Greece does, the results are going to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
There are no good choices here available. And right now, as I said, we are completely pretending. So the so-called stress tests, which are a joke worldwide, are a particular joke in Europe because they exclude sovereign debt exposure. Well, you know, that's the principal risk mm-hmm. that they face. So you take a stress test that involves not stressing.
Right. Well, isn't that the problem that's happened since Lehman Brothers, is that private debt is now being transferred into sovereign debt, and the U.S. have shown the way, and that, you know, seems to be the what they're trying to do nowadays, and it's absolutely catastrophic for the taxpayer.
Well, no, it's actually far worse. They're not equivalent. The United States still has a sovereign currency, and things are very different. Individual European nations that are members of the euro do not. So when you're in a serious recession, there are three remedies that you can try to use. They're not mutually exclusive. You can try doing a combination of them. One is to devalue your currency. Well, you can't do that because you're a member of the euro. Two, you can have an easier monetary policy. Well, you can't do that because the European Central Bank runs monetary policy, and that means the Germans and the French run monetary policy, and they run it in the way they like it, which is a pretty austerity-filled way, and they could care less that it causes disaster in the periphery. And the third thing you could do is to have fiscal stimulus, but you're not allowed to do that under the EU rules, under the woefully misnamed Growth and Stability Pact, which really causes contraction and instability. You're not allowed to run a significant deficit in a recession. In other words, you're not allowed to have automatic stabilizers that are really successful. So instead, you get these insane policies that are, in jargon, pro-cyclical, which simply means they make the recession worse. And that's just the economic insanity. None of the governments that sign on to these austerity pledges will survive. Each of them will be defeated. And that's already happened in Iceland and Ireland and Portugal. And so you're going to get tremendous political instability, and that's in the periphery. In the non-periphery, you get the rise of these ultra-right-wing parties, including one that's in coalition, in power, in Finland. And the EU rules in general require unanimity in votes. So we now have the insanity of this minority, extreme, ultra-right Finnish party making EU policy, or at least blocking EU policy in terms of trying to deal with any of the problems of the periphery. And so Finland's right-wing sub-subgroup is, in essence, holding hostage any effort at recovery. And we don't as many forms of insanity as we have in the United States, and God knows we have them in abundance, Europe has all of those plus these extra problems.
Again, I'm speaking with William K. Black, an expert on bank fraud. He was the executive director of the Institute for Fraud Prevention and the author of the bestseller, The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One. He's just back from Europe where he was meeting with bankers and regulators. And we're talking about Europe on the precipice. And so just walk us through then your idea or what can be done, because first of all, am I correct in suggesting that there's no political will or ability to handle this problem? Nobody seems to want to bite the bullet with Greece and let them default, where they clearly have already probably the barn door's open and the horse is way down the paddock on that one. Two questions, I guess. What can be done, and what do you think will happen?
Well, starting with the first, what we're seeing instead is the old let the twist slowly in the wind. And again, because of Europe's difficulty in making decisions with the ability of a single country to veto anything, mostly what happens is nothing. And so uncertainty is one of the things that markets really hate, and we are maximizing all of this uncertainty. And so the countries of the periphery are getting pummeled. As I say, each of them basically has increasing unemployment, unemployment that is often roughly twice U.S. unemployment. You can imagine what that would do socially within this country to have those levels of unemployment. Well, that's what's happening in Europe. What do they need to do? Well, the euro system inherently does not work. It has a common currency, but not a common nation or common government, and the economies differ enormously. And so, for the reasons I went through, the three options you have to respond to a recession, none of them are available. Instead, you get something that makes it worse. So that is absolutely untenable, and you have to change the euro system. You can keep the currencies that are relatively similar. You could create a euro that had simply France, part of Scandinavia, and Germany and the Netherlands, and that would work probably okay. But the periphery must get out of the euro, and you're going to see no political will to make any decisions. So, again, the twisting slowly in the wind with bailouts, with both groups hating each other. So the periphery feels it's being forced into stupid recessions, and the core feels virtuous and that it's bailing out the lazy, you know, Southerners from the European perspective. You know, they look to Southern Europe and they see people that are their poor relations.
Sure. So given then that the Eurobond suggestion of Soros and others has been rejected by Merkel, given that there's no common European treasury, and you're saying that the only thing that would make sense is for the North to take the euro and cut the South loose, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, but by the way, I'm thinking that primarily because of what the needs of the South, not the needs of the North. The North feels that it's bailing out the South, but in largest part, it's simply bailing out banks within the North. The bond idea would have worked reasonably well if the European Central Bank was willing to become more like the Fed. As you said, at this juncture, the Germans have blocked that, and that's authentic. That's not just coming from the politicians. If you put it to a vote, I think the idea would have lost about 93% to 7%. So you're not going to get that. You're exposed with this crisis the great myth of the European project. In other words, the way that the French in particular always talked about this as a grand European project of all of us coming together and such. Well, as soon as there was a real problem, it was no longer, well, there are fellow Europeans. It was, those were the damn Greeks. The lazy Greeks who retire at 55 with massive pensions and never pay any taxes. And, of course, there is some truth to these things as well. Greece is very different than Ireland, Portugal, Spain, and Italy. And to date, the crisis, of course, has been focused on Greece,
sure,
but it extends to all of the periphery, and Spain and Italy are massively greater in size of economies than these nations.
Right, and they're so too big.
Bailout mechanism.
Right, too big to fail, and too big to fail, and too big to bail. I'm sorry that we've run out of time, William K. Black, but I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with William K. Black, who's a former litigation director of the Federal Home Loan Bank Board, who investigated the savings and loan disaster of the 1980s. He is just back from Europe, where he was meeting with bankers and bank regulators. And we're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about deteriorating relations between the United States and Pakistan. Always had to sling, so let it run. Let it all drop. Let it all drop. Oh, let it all fall off. Let it drop. Let it all drop. Let it all drop. Oh, let it all fall off.